Mr. Pullen, reel 16.
Now, when you were told about VD and syphilis, what sort of precautions were you told to take?
Well, they used to, in after years though, after that, they used to issue us with users. That was two little tubes. And if you had an intercourse, you'd squirt one up your stomach, and the other one you'd rub over the one in itself, see?
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to keep that away. But I've known men have caught VD just the same afterwards.
Now, would you do, you would do that as you were told to do that as a matter of course?
Yeah.
If you'd been with a woman.
That's right. Yes.
I see.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
They issue it. You could.
Yeah.
They'd issue it with them from the Navy.
Now, if despite these precautions you found a sailor found he had VD, how was it treated at this time?
If he had VD.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you of one man that I was friendly with. One night we was all dancing on the upper deck, and he said, what do you think of that, Ted? That was before our doctors had come home. His name was Bidgood, and he courted a girl in the Tottenham Court Road. He used to always tell me over the Tuppenny Op at Tottenham. I don't know if you ever heard about it, if you've been in London. I didn't know. He was a smart chap, a bit of a fighting man, though. One night he come down off the mess deck, after, off the upper deck after we'd been dancing around and a bit of fun and that, see. He said, what do you reckon that is, Ted, see?
And he showed you his thing, did he?
He showed me his private part,
yeah.
See. And on the inside part, near the belly part, was a black spot.
Yeah.
I said, how did you get that? He thought it was a fag end, didn't he? Well, he went on a bit and he got worried, courting this girl at Tottenham. I said, Bill, go in the sick bay, let the doctor see if you wear it too far. Don't want to worry, I said, let me see it. He went in the sick bay and the doctor said, and he's telling me, quoting, I'll be a father to you, he said, you've got syphilis. He said, I'll give you these injections. He said, I don't believe I have, sir. He wouldn't believe that he'd been, I don't know where he'd gone, see. The doctor said, well, I'll give you these pills, he said, and if a rash don't come out on you tonight, he said, I won't want to see you no more. So he took it easy, and that, see. When he come on the mess thing, he took off his flannel then. There was the rash. Bill had syphilis. That broke him up. Smart, awful nice looking, smart chap. Consequence was that he went on and on, and to finish up with, I don't know how ever he got cured, but when I came home from South America, he was at the gunnery school. And he shouted out to me, you see, and I thought I was in trouble. He said, you want a weekend, Ted? I said, yes. So he gave me a ticket to have a weekend home. I hadn't been home for 8 years now, you know, see? So I came home, but I had no home. All my people had gone to Canada, so I had my girl. She lived three doors away from here, pushy house down. This was her property. So that was that business. No bill, John.
That was syphilis, and that's how they treated that. What about VD? How did they treat that?
VD, that was treated. I've known one chap named Tommy Atkins. He had what they call two pigs. Two lumps that come here in the groin. And they used to cut them open and stick little wadding stuff in there, you know, to cure this venereal disease. That was pretty bad. But you'd be surprised the amount of VD and that, see. That's why I had to tell the captain of the Glasgow when he punished me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we've been had. I said, you take me as a boy 6 months a week. Now I said, my pay is 2 shillings a day. I said, how could we keep a wife? I said, around her family. I said, that's why there's so much syphilis in venereal disease aboard ships.
Mm.
He said, well, he said, I should have been an admiral by now, but there's no promotion in the Navy. Yet we were preparing to meet these German in this 1914-18 war, you see.
Mm. This question of promotion in the Navy, that was quite a source of...
Oh, it was, you couldn't get raised.
How did it seem to work? How did promotion seem to work to you?
Well, I don't know exactly. They brought it in that, say I passed for leading seaman. Now my next rating would be straight from there to a petty officer first class. Instead of that, see, I was 4 years before I could get made. 4 years, mind that, see. Now today, if you join the Navy as a stoker, that tomorrow you'd be a petty officer.
Mm.
And you'd be getting, in my time, about £45 a week.
Yeah. Now, in your time, was promotion unsatisfactory for everyone, or did some people seem to get promoted?
Unsatisfactory for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone always moaning about it. And when they was made up, say a first-class petty officer, and then if he had no gunnery or torpedo knowledge, his pay was about 2 and 3 pence a day. And he had to have at least 70 men to look after.
Now, why did it seem to be unsatisfactory? I mean, was it because it took such a long time?
Yes, that's why it was. Look, see, there was no promotion. Such a long, long, long time before they could make it.
Yeah.
In fact, take me for instance. I passed for an able seaman in the Caesar, and before I could be made, I had to do 6 weeks stoker training. That was a new thing the Admiralty brought in. That was, I suppose, to delay the extra money. And then after that, after I passed the stoker training, I had to put 10 6-inch rounds through a loading machine. Well, them rounds, each round weighed 100 pound, nearly 100 weight, I see. The chap my side, put 10 of them in the loading machine. I had to lift that up off the deck, put it on a rest tray, and we had a glove on there, see. Press it home. And I was months trying to do that, you know. The last time I nearly had the 10, the last one dropped, 9. Disqualified. I passed it, I got the 10 through eventually. Then I had to fill in 18 months at sea all the time before I could get that extra 4 pence. So that'll just show you the Admiralty. When they were asked to pay the sailor 6 pence a day more, it would run into thousands of pounds. Today they can spend millions of pounds on a submarine.
Now, when you first, in the years before the war, how did you manage to get along on your pay? Could you get by on it?
Well, you had to. You was never in debt because they wouldn't allow you to get in debt. See, you put down for a pair of serge trousers or 6 yards of serge. If you couldn't pay for it, they stop it out your money. You see, wouldn't pay you no more money till it was paid for. Paymaster do all that. See.
Could you make any savings out of your pay? Could you save money regularly?
No, I don't think. I think I saved about 8 pound in the Dockyard Bank.
Over how long a period?
Oh, about 4 years, I think. And I didn't draw it out. I drew out 6 pound, and a fellow named Churchill come to me one day. He was in trouble in the barracks. So I gave him my book to go and get the other 2 pound out. He had the 2 pound. And about 5 years after, I met him and he paid me the money. 2 pound.
Mm. So pay wasn't too good.
Oh, you couldn't, you couldn't do nothing with it. It's impossible to talk about it, really. Not worth talking about it.
Were there any ways in which you could supplement your pay by doing jobs?
Taking washing, taking sewing, if you do sewing, see, and boot repairing, air cutting. You know, if you had the clippers and that, you could, on the upper deck, you could take up the men and charge them 6 minutes a time for air cut. Sometimes Marines will do that, you know. And sometimes the Blue Jackets will do your shoe repairing. Mm. Someone could do it all right, too.
Now, how many men aboard a ship could be making money in these kinds of ways? Could everybody make money in one way or another?
Not many was doing it. Most men would be sitting down making a shawl, perhaps, for their wife or sweetheart. Or sewing. We used to sew ships in wool, you know. And pet the sails out with cotton wool, like, you know, see. Make out they're blowing out, see. And sometimes I see one made there. In memory of my ship, in memory of my cruise to China. He had different things sewn in, see. And his photo in the center. Send that home, see. I painted one or two things.
The people who made money by cutting hair, repairing shoes, and things like this, could anyone decide off his own bat that he was going to cut hair or something, or was there a way?
Yes.
Didn't have to get permission?
Didn't have to get permission, I think, see. The only permission you had to get was to grow a beard and then shave it off.
So if I was aboard ship in these years and I wanted to start a Jewing firm, I could just do it. I didn't need permission from anyone.
That's right, yeah. Usually you say, I'm taking in Washington, see. Somebody here, you're taking in Washington, come on. Say, here, Herb, you can do that for me, see.
Well, what if I went to a ship and there were already a lot of Dobie firms on this ship, enough for the size of the ship, but I came along and said, right, I'm going to start a Dobie firm, and I started one and made it a bit cheaper than the others. Could I do that?
Oh, yes, you could, yes. They wouldn't know what was happening.
Wouldn't I upset a few people?
The only people that happened were the people who'd done the work for. Let me tell you something about that.
Yeah.
I was doing a writer's come to me and asked me to wash his white shirt, you see. So when I returned his shirt to him, he said, my other Dobian firm, Ted, used to sew the buttons on, see. I said, well, remind me next time and I'll sew a button on. So he went and sewed the lid of a big tomato tin on there, see? I, like a fool, made the hole big enough for that to fit. So I lost my Dobian firm, see? Then I took in Amex.
What on earth did he sew a lid of a tomato pot on his shirt for?
He sewed that to instruct me that he wanted that button sewed, see? And of course, I thought he wanted that as the button. And I cut the hole big enough.
How big was that?
Well, about 4 inches across, you see. Well, then there's another case. I took in Amex. If you scrub Amex, you get a shilling, see. Up they all come, 20 Amex I had. I was there working all hours at night scrubbing these Amex. Cut them on the line. Next morning, 16 had blown overboard and 4 rescrubs. Yeah. See, well, I was in debt. So you see, by coming on board, doing it cheaper, you can't get nowhere, like, see.
Which of these jobs were the most remunerative? Who made the most money? The Jewin firm or the haircutter?
The Dobian firm done they the most. Because they'd be washing all over the night. See, and the Jewin firm, they would get there just one order, perhaps. Make me a duck suit, or make me a sword suit, see?
Yeah.
He'd measure you up, and he'd sit down in his old sewing machine, get the 6 yards of sewing, cut it all out, see? We were taught to cut our clothes out and make it, see? So, you see, there was a few bob they could make on this quiet, see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've said that pay was unsatisfactory. Now, what about pensions? How did the men feel about that? Because if you served 12, you didn't get a pension, did you?
Oh, no, you didn't get a pension at 12, see. You had to carry on until you were done. You're 22. That was from the age of 18 to 40. That was your 22 year. This didn't count boys' time. And the pension in those days was roughly about 16 shillings a week.
This was when you finished and drew yours, is it?
Not when I finished.
Oh, earlier than
when
that.
When men previous to me had finished. Petty officers, because by being a petty officer, you get a bit of extra all the time, see? So you see, they had they got about 16 shillings a week. That was about the most they paid them in them days. Then all at once, sure after the war, out come a new white paper that my pay went up from 3 and 4 pence a day as a petty officer, a gunnery man, to £1 a day.
And did the men themselves, at any time in your experience, do anything to try and get their pay improved?
Oh, yes.
What sort of things?
It was a sort of a... take Lord Charles Beresford, he tried several times. But the men couldn't do much about it, you know.
There were no sort of meetings?
No, there was no union like we got today, if you got a trade union. Nothing like that. You wasn't allowed to write to your MP, you know, or anything like that. You wasn't allowed to do much outside the Navy.